does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, when the nameless dread and as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears blow all the night long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it odd to him, does he see? Yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Well, we are confident of that wondrous care that we have in the Lord. I want to speak this morning from the fifth chapter of Genesis, Genesis 5. Let us begin with verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, walking with God. It is twice stated here in these verses that Enoch walked with God. We are confident and we claim that glorious verse and many other like it, where that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are confident and rejoice in the idea and the assurance that he is always with us. But this statement, walking with God, is far different than that. The first thing that we need to notice about it, it is walking with God. The emphasis upon adapting to him, not the other way around. We must conform to his path, bow to his way, if we're going to walk with God. We'll not turn there, but God spoke of the contrary part of this in Leviticus 26. He said to Israel that there would come a day when they must acknowledge that they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them. And so God loved them and he protected them, and he does that down to this very day. But Israel did not really walk with God in the way that he intended for them to do. And there came a time again when they had to admit that. I want to speak today on four major keys that we must have to understand what it means to walk with God. The first thing is we must agree with God. We'll not turn there, but Amos 3:3, we've heard it many times. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We have seen this many times where men are concerned, where they simply cannot have fellowship. They simply cannot be in harmony with one another. Speaking of Christians, because they have two different sets of doctrines. And so how can two walk together? How can they have fellowship unless they be agreed? The same thing is true with man and God. It is only to the degree that we accept what God says that we are able to walk in harmony and in fellowship with God. It can be done, it must be done, in order to achieve the fullness of what God intends for us in walking with God. We're going to see three prominent men in the message today, which illustrates these different points. Those men are Enoch, as we see here, twice stated that he walked with God. Genesis 17:1, God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Then we read here in Genesis 6 and again in verse 9, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. These are three men that illustrate the wonder and the beauty of walking with God, and indeed how they did that. The second key that we need to understand when we walk with God, it is a way of life. It is not some temporary or sporadic thing. It's not to be used just when we get into trouble, need to walk with God to get this thing worked out, and then go your merry way. That's really not walking with God. These men tell us of those who made it their object of life. We read here that Enoch walked with God 300 years. talking about Abraham. When God spoke to him, and he left Ur of the Chaldees, we'll see a little bit later on, he was 75 years old. When God spoke to him and said to him, "Walk before me and be thou perfect," he was 99 years old. And so he had already been walking with God 25 years up to that time. Then I was thinking of Noah. Scripture says that he's a just man. He's perfect in his generations. He walked with God. Scripture says that Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark. That means he had been, according to his generations, walking with God about 600 years. And so we find out that walking with God is a constant thing. Think of, well, let's turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because we, these men, are in that chapter. Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith. We're going to see some more things about walking with God here presently. But I want to notice it is a long-term thing. And Abraham began that walk once again. As we see in the 12th chapter of Genesis, God said this. The Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country." The fourth verse of that chapter, it says, Abram departed. He began to walk with God immediately at that time. Here in the fifth verse of Hebrews 11, we begin the third key. Walking with God means walking by faith. Notice verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the exact same incident that we find back in Genesis sixth chapter, how that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now we find a little bit more about what that walk means, what Enoch actually did in order that he might be translated before the floodwaters came upon the earth, as we'll see a little bit later. And so Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And the reason was because he pleased God. There is only one way to do that, according to what we read here, and that is a person has to be walking by faith. So let us understand, walking with God means that we are also walking by faith. As we see in verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That doesn't mean that you believe that he exists, as some people say. I love to teach this verse. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then you fill in the blank. Anything that we need him to be in our lives, God will be. He is our healer. He is our master. He is our leader. He is our savior. There is no difficulty that we get into that God can't come in for. He is in all of these. Well, the only way you tap into that is simply to believe it. And so that indeed is walking by faith. You will notice the same pattern in Abraham's life in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Once again, we go back to Genesis 12:4, where that God, it said of Abram, in the first verse, God speaking to him, he had spoken to him, get thee out of thy land. We must understand that Abram was an idolater in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And God spoke to him while he was in that land. We have brought out many times that the Lord always meets us where we are. This man was in idolatry, and yet God spoke to him and brought him out of that. God will do the same thing wherein we are today. He meets us where we are, and we have the choice of walking with him or not. And so Abram, we read in the fourth verse of that same chapter, Abram departed, you can underline it, as the Lord had spoken unto him. It was because of believing God. It's because he believed the word of God that he departed. Walking with God means that we walk according to what God has said unto us. It's directly because of God's word. Verse 7 is Noah. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Things not seen as yet means it had never rained on the earth. God told Noah it's going to rain, and it's going to be a lot of it. And for that, and Noah made that known, you talk about the scoffing and the this has never happened before. That's preposterous. Well, it wasn't preposterous because it happened. Being warned of God, notice what he did. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was warned of God. It was the word of God that he listened to. Listen to this passage from Isaiah 66:2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. The word tremble means reverential fear and respect. Noah had that kind of respect and honor and awe because of the word of God. Every Christian must have the same awe of God's word. And he didn't just hear it, he moved and he began to build the ark. And so the conclusion of this is simply, if men are not walking by faith, they are not walking with God. I'm talking about Christians. A person may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He may even accept the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking in new tongues. But if we're not walking by faith, we're not walking with God. Day after day after day after day. Then we come to the fourth key, and that is of reward. We find out that in verse 5 of this chapter, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch walked with God, says Genesis 6, and he was not, for God took him. God took him to heaven without dying. I want to enlarge on this one as I close this message. Enoch lived in the days of Noah. He was taken out before the waters of judgment ever fell upon the earth. Noah was in that time. Noah was in the ark, and he was preserved. The ark, there are many lessons in the ark for the church, which we are not going into in this message. But primarily, Noah being in the ark is symbolic of the nation of Israel, safe in the ark of Jesus. He will carry them through the waters of tribulation and out on the other side into the millennium, and Israel will become the head and not the tail of the nations. But there's another group here, often overlooked. Most people think that Noah and his band got into the ark. They were saved, delivered safely on the other side after the flood. And everybody else drowned in the flood and went to hell. That's not true. We'll not turn there. You can make a note of it. 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 18, it says this. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, but quickened by the Spirit, by which, that is, by that same Spirit which quickened him, he also went and he preached unto the spirits in prison. The spirits in prison are those who were in Upper Sheol or in paradise or Abraham's bosom, all of them exactly the same place. It's the abode of the righteous dead. That's where Jesus went after his spirit left his body when he perished there at the cross. And so we read, he preached unto the spirits in prison, but these spirits are specified, which sometime were disobedient in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Peter tells us there was a host of people, perhaps among the mockers and the scoffers during the time that Noah was building his ark. But when the rains began to fall, they recognized this old fool knew what he was talking about, and they accepted Christ in that many words. They were saved. They did not go to hell. They went to Upper Sheol. It brings us down to our present day. Enoch is very much typical of the Philadelphia church. Let's go to the third chapter of Revelation. Verse 10. This is Jesus the judge. This is his message to the church at Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Philadelphia church will be translated out of this world before the waters of judgment begin to fall in the tribulation period. They will be in heaven when Jesus takes his throne. You'll find that in Revelation 4. What about this other group that was around during the time of Enoch? Didn't believe in time to get in the ark. Yes, they lost their physical lives, but again, they did not go to hell. It was equivalent, as I said, to accepting Christ. They called on the name of the Lord, and he heard them. Skip down to verse 14 here in Revelation 3, and we find the same group of people are going to be around in the tribulation. This doesn't mean that all of those have to get saved. But let us understand this very clearly. The church, the bulk of the church, is out to preach today that when Jesus comes again, he's going to take all the saved people back to heaven. Everybody else will go to hell. That wasn't true in Noah's time, and it's not going to be true when Jesus comes again. The only church that will be translated is the Philadelphia church, because he found nothing against them. I don't know when the world, the church, is going to understand that Jesus is going to have a spotless bride, and the church as a whole does not qualify. And so notice the group that is represented by those of Enoch's time. No, they didn't go to hell. They went to Abraham's bosom, but they were among those who simply did not walk with God. These words, which were spoken to Israel in Leviticus 26, they also apply to the church as a whole. There is going to come a day when the church, the bulk of the church, must acknowledge that they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them. The church will one day have to acknowledge they did not walk with God. They're saved, many of them much more fruit than others. The bulk of the church is found in Revelation 7 as the company without number. But I want to notice these in Laodicea, because they are typical of that same class of people. Verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, and faithful and true witness. You know what that means? That means the church as a whole is without excuse, because God has given them ample warning, just as Noah gave ample warning in his day. Men will be without excuse, and they will have to recognize before God, yes, we did walk contrary to God. That's the church. I'm talking about saved people that are one day going to be forced to acknowledge they did not walk with God. And so we read, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true. That's Jesus. Cannot argue with him, though men try to do it today. This is Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God. And here's what he says. I know your works. You're neither cold nor you're hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Some people say different things, meaning hell and things of this nature. One meaning of that is, I can't have fellowship with you. You're not in harmony with me. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, Know not that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked? These verses have been used many times to portray sinners, and indeed they do. But the same characteristics apply to Christians who are not walking with God. They're not laying hold of everything that God asked them to do, to walk with me, to agree with me. The Laodicean church is, yes, saved, many of them. And when I speak of the Laodicean church, let's understand this. We are living right now in the Laodicean condition. It means this lawlessness. It means all of this foolishness, which is against God. You know what Laodicea means? It means rights of the people. I have never seen so many people in all of my born days of insisting on their own rights. Everybody has their rights, and I'm going to have mine regardless. They have never heard, seems like, of surrendering themselves unto the Lord and let Him determine their privileges. Everybody has to have their rights. And if those rights go against God's word, forget it. I'll take my rights over what God's word says any day. That's the message of our world today. And I am talking about many Christians who are insisting on their own way of life. It's all right if I choose to be gay. It's all right if I choose an abortion. It's all right if I choose any of these other things that God declares are against Him. It's not all right if we're going to walk with God. Cannot accept those things if we are going to walk with God. And so we find out that this group was around in Enoch's day. They are still here in our day. And so let us understand. Laodicea has adopted the word of man rather than the word of God. If we are going to walk by faith, there is no other way to do it than to walk according to God's word. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But today, men have adopted the word of man over the word of God. The rights of the people regulate the walk of men rather than the word of God. Again, I repeat, men cannot walk with God if they don't walk by faith. It can't be done. And we have seen it in these men, Enoch, Abraham, and Noah. So we too must claim the place. We are at the place today. We are on the threshold. Just like Enoch was, how long he, what length of time there was between the time he was translated and the time that the floods came, I don't know. But we do know in this day and time that Jesus is at the door. And it is high time that men believed that, or else they are going to be found wanting. And so the key for us is, once again, these wonderful words that we read of Enoch in Hebrews 11:5, once again. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, And he was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And notice this. He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. That is walking with God when we spend our time seeking him rather than our own rights and ways. So let us not be as the Laodiceans, but rather claim that place as a part of the Philadelphia church. And like Enoch, walked with God. And one day, we too will not be found on this earth.